WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Hey, 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 it's nighttime. And welcome to Brian's Beat. Whew, what a day. Kind of chilly. It is. It's fall. It's fall and back to school. I remember a guy did a commercial like that way back when. At any rate, welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show, born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. It is National Mentor Day. Mentoring Day. Have you ever been a mentor? Have you ever been mentored? National Mentoring Day. It's also Navy Day. Navy Day in the U.S. of A. The Brian's Beat quote of the day. I think the one lesson I have learned is that there is no substitute for paying attention. Remember as a kid, probably your mom said, pay attention. I know my mom did. Pay attention. And I think in my mind, I was saying, I don't want to. Pay attention. I think the one lesson I have learned is that there is no substitute for paying attention. Yeah, my mom could have said that to me. Your mom probably said it to you. But the quote of the day comes from reporter and anchor Diane Sawyer. Yeah. Pay attention. I was preoccupied with something else, probably McHale's Navy or General Hospital. But it is true. You need to pay attention. And I think that's a recurring theme on many of the shows here on WBSM. And I think I try to instill that. I don't know how well of a job I do, but paying attention is important. And you're not going to pick up on everything. Who stated it? I think Jim Rohn. He once said, progress, not perfection. So you're not going to get it right every time. You're not going to remember everything every time. But you got to try. You got to pay attention. So I was paying attention, but not thoroughly, because for some reason, former President Joe Biden was in town. And you know he got an award? Not for being president. Joe Biden got a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he was greeted by the Kennedy family. He was in Boston for a Lifetime Achievement. I guess he achieved to be president. Maybe all the years he served in Congress and did such a banner job. Lifetime Achievement Award. I guess, look, you got to give him longevity, right? Speaking of races, I'm not talking about racial races. I'm talking about political races. I'm not a big fan. I love the Yankees. I really do. But I'm not a huge fan of New York City. But it's difficult not to keep watching what may happen next week, next Tuesday, in the New York City mayoral race. I'm intrigued. I think that's the term I should use. I am intrigued. There is this guy who is the front runner that I don't agree with his politics. But I have to give him credit because he has hit a chord with the people of New York and not just New York City. It seems odd to talk like this. The guy is a state senator. He is running for mayor of New York City. He is, unless something drastically happens over the next 7-8 days, he is going to be elected the next mayor of New York. He wants fully paid childcare, daycare. He wants government-operated grocery stores in New York City. Two things. Look, if the people want it, I'm okay with it. It's not in my backyard. Don't give it to me. Don't force me into something like that. But if the people of New York City want it and they're willing to pay for it, all the power to them. I don't have to go to New York City. I don't have to go, if I do go to New York City, because I might go to Yankee Stadium. I might go to the Empire State. But, you know, I might be at the train station or the bus station looking for a hooker or something like that. You know, I could be in New York City. But I don't have to go to a government-operated grocery store. I don't have to use their child care, daycare. Please don't force me into it. What intrigues me is how this guy has gotten people to really believe that this is better than sliced bread, his campaign. And then I start to think about it, and I'm thinking, this is eerily similar to what happened around 2010, 2012, when the Tea Party came in. At that particular time, the Republicans were lost in space. We had 8 years of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and company, and Obama came in. And he wowed the people somehow, some way. And it was nip and tuck there for a while. And then Obama came up with Obamacare, and the Tea Party came in, and they said, look, this is far afield of where we've been. And that was because the Republicans had become semi-Democrat. Remember that period of time? Way back when, even going back to when I was a Republican, the Republicans really were for very small government, hardly any government, no Department of Education, all that kind of stuff. Well, the Republicans long ago changed from that. And that's what ushered in the Tea Party. Tea Party kind of fizzled. There's still members of the Tea Party around, but they kind of fizzled out. Well, after Joe Biden, it looks like the Democrats have trying to figure, what do we do now? And I think many of us sit back and we think, well, the Democrats are going to be the traditional Democrat Party. Well, this guy, Zohan, comes in and he's got a, in his book, Better Idea, which is on the coattails of AOC, which is on the coattails of Bernie and the squad. And so I guess we can call it fresh ideas on the local level. And so I'm intrigued. I'm watching this race and I'm saying to myself, you know, this guy's going to win. And what do we need to watch out for? Because usually what happens, especially in politics, if something works, others try to pick up on it. And especially when it comes for more government. So it's hard right now to predict that Man Danny's not going to win. I mean, all the tea leaves are pointing in his direction. Now, there could be some kind of takeover. There could be some huge falling out. They might find out that this guy's been diddling little kids or something like that. I don't know. I'm not saying that he has. But you know how campaigns get. The 11th hour, something pops up. Well, so far you've had Israeli-type groups try to denounce Mam Dani. That hasn't worked. You've had the Republicans come out and try to denounce him. That didn't go anywhere. You've had Democrats, the traditional Democrats. That didn't work. There was a rally the other day. I think it was last night or Saturday night in New York. And the governor of New York, Bernie, was there. AOC was there. You know, that crowd. They were there. And the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, I believe that's how they pronounce her last name. She was up at the microphone to endorse Mam Dani. And the crowd was telling her to tax the rich, tax the rich. She's pretty moderate. She doesn't really go down that particular road. But even at the microphone, she was saying, I hear you. Whew. So that's what made me think. This guy is going to be the mayor. I don't know, 4-year term, I guess, is what they get. How long will it be before he decides, maybe I should run for governor? Whew. And then all of a sudden, because people like his policies, he wins. And all of a sudden you see, instead of just daycare, childcare for New York City, daycare, childcare for New York State. And as I said before, if politicians see something that's working, inevitably they turn around and try to do it in their backyard. Maybe Maura Healey or whomever replaces Maura Healey says, hey, maybe we should have government-paid child care for everybody here in the Commonwealth. So I'm intrigued and I'm scared at the very same time. 508-996-0500. It's been a lot of talk, not only about Mammy there, Mammy Dani. But here in the Commonwealth, Maura Healey is not wasting any breath talking about Donald Trump and what he and the Republican Party are doing to make sure that people don't get their SNAP benefits. I have some quotes from her, and I'm going to follow up on them. Here's something that she said earlier today. Billions of dollars are available to continue SNAP benefits, but the Republicans and the president don't want to go down that particular road. Governor, you've got $8 billion in the rainy day fund. Talk to Bacon Hill lawmakers about releasing some of that money. And one of the reporters that was able to get the governor's ear stated that, you know, you've got $8 billion in the rainy day fund. And the governor said that there's no way the state can backfill this money, and those who are able, That's what she said. Yes, we've got $8 billion. She didn't say yes to we have $8 billion. We know that there's $8 billion there. But she's saying that the state can't do it. Then she followed it up by saying the federal government pays $240 million. $8 billion, $240 million. You mean to tell me you can't do 1 month? Madam Governor, you can't do 1 month. You're trying to make it sound like we're going to take over the whole package. But maybe the Commonwealth should. And maybe we, the people, should have a vote on it to see how much and for whom We want to shell out our money for food stamps. That's basically what it is, the food stamp program. I mean, there are people that are indigent. I think we can means test it. We don't want children to go hungry, right? Children can't work. You've got people that are 65 and older. I might even say you might want to push that age up to 70 or 72 who aren't going to go out there and work or can't. You've got people that are indigent. These are people that you know need to be taken care of. There's a lot of people in between the kids and seniors who can be means tested to qualify. That way, it doesn't cost we, the taxpayers, as much money as maybe the federal government program is. And if we, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, run the program, then we can add different rules and regulations that maybe the federal government doesn't want to add. Like, how about this? People have been complaining about sugary drinks. What if we take sugary drinks off the list of things you can use your food stamp money for? Candy bars. Cheetos. Things like that. And I think you'd find people here in the Commonwealth more than willing to vote those things out of food stamps. I might be wrong. I mean, if I were given a ballot and I was able to extract those things from food stamps, give me the pen. Give me the marker. Let me just color it yes or no, whatever I'm supposed to color it. That's what I would say. Governor Healey, talking about Donald Trump. What he's engaged in now is cruel. It's callous. At the same time, he's building a ballroom that continues to go up in price, over $300 million to date. And at the same time, he's asking us American taxpayers to write him a check for $230 million to pay for his legal fees. It's outrageous. Feed people, Mr. President. Feed Americans. Help me with this for a second, because I'm under the impression that private donations are paying for this ballroom, this East Wing ballroom. Did I get that wrong? Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I got it. Maybe it is we, the taxpayers, paying for this ballroom. And if that's the case, I would agree with the governor that we, the people, should not be paying at this particular time. And I would probably say at any time for an extension to the White House for an upgrade, especially since I am of the belief that this is fully funded with private donations. Again, I could be wrong. Wouldn't be the first time, and it certainly won't be the last. 508-996-0500 to join us on the program with this today. It is going back and forth. It's like sitting there watching a ping pong game, not table tennis where you see the real pros really whacking that ball back and forth, but the ball kind of bounced this way, and then the Republicans return, and then the Democrats return, and then the Republicans, you know, boom, 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 boom. And you know what? It's like every day there's a bump and there's a counter bump, but nothing changes. I did say earlier when I was on for Barry today that it looks like it's going to be up to the yous and me's to if we want to do anything about this food program. And I notice up in Methuen, which is up there by the New Hampshire border, that they have actually started a food drive. Apparently, I did not know this, but 19% of Methuen's population is on SNAP. They get food stamps. And so to try to make things a little bit better, they have a big food drive that's been going on for a couple of days now. And I think it's going to keep going until we get to November 1st at any rate. I don't know how many people in Greater New Bedford are on SNAP. I would like to think less than 19%. I really don't know. I know that the YMCA does a food distribution, but I think that's maybe once a week or once a month, something along that line. I believe it's on a Tuesday or a Thursday, you know, one of those days. I know every week over at the New Bedford Hotel, there are people standing out waiting for whatever food gets delivered on whatever day. I think that's a Wednesday that they do that. And then there's the soup kitchen. So, but how much food do they have? And I note that we are coming up on Thanksgiving. We are less than a month away from, is that right? Today's the 27th. Thanksgiving is 1 month from today. 1 month from today. 27 on the 27th of November. And I would tend to believe, I did one time work over at the Volk on a Thanksgiving day. And it seems like they go through an awful lot of food. And my guess is if things get bad and we're at it at Thanksgiving, I don't know how much food will be left over. I don't know. You know, people do donate. It's one thing about not only our backyard, the Commonwealth, and this country. When we know that people are down and out, maybe a storm has ravaged the area or whatever the case may be, we donate. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. And I say this as a person that willingly states that we probably should not have this SNAP program, or it could be run a lot better than it's being implemented right now. I guess not being implemented right now, but the way it has been put forward. And I don't know if or how that's going to change. I do know this. The Republicans and the Democrats are still belly aching back and forth, giving a lot of lip service, but doing a lot of nothing. But isn't that what we've come to expect out of Washington, D.C., out of Bacon Hill? Yes, it is. So I'm not expecting it to change anytime soon. The governor is, in fact, I saw when she held the press conference and reporters were asking her questions, and I saw the look on her face as she started talking about SNAP benefits being curtailed. And, you know, she's pretty straight up about it. She doesn't see the federal government giving that $5 billion that they have available if they want to give, never mind part of the $8 billion that we have here in the Commonwealth. And I looked at her face and there's a cartoon character that looks like that. And I can't place the character's name, but I can't help but think, you know, you've got $8 billion there. You were asked. And again, $8 billion. Billion is a lot more than hundreds of millions. And she took that question and said that there's no way that we can cover that nut, especially when the federal government's got $5 billion. The federal government's got $5 billion for the whole country. And you've got $8 billion for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I don't know if there was a follow-up question by any of the reporters, but I sat there and I'm thinking, you, Governor Healey, you have mentioned $240 million, and you said it right there after the reporter asked you that question, and you're trying to make us think that you can't eke out $240 million from $8 billion? I hope that there was a reporter on hand that followed up that question, because it's a travesty if there wasn't one. But at any rate, if there was, it did not come out in the conversation. All right, 508-996-0500. There's another thing that I'm going to get into. Kind of goes back to the Mandani thing. Not so much the thing, but what he represents. And we'll take your calls on that, too.
This is an act of terror.
This is WBSM.
The chicken's got a certain...
Hold it. Westernality, right?
Yes, Ron.
The government may be shut down. Legitimate business funding remains open. See for yourself at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
What you want, baby, I got. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come on. Little bit, baby.
It seems like within the realm of reasonable that if you have someone who engineers a coup and tries to overthrow election, that maybe they should be barred from running for that office again in the future.
Kinda. And I had the music from Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown would get to the bottom of some of these questions. 508-996-0500 to get on to Brian's Beat tonight. Brought up a couple of things dealing with Maura Healey. I also talked about the New York City mayoral race. And I want to tie that in to what's going on down in the Caribbean. More to the point, Venezuela and the government of Venezuela. I like our system. I think we have some problems. But I don't want to throw the baby out with the political bathwater. And I look at socialism and say, I don't know too many places where it's working well. But then I think of Mandani. And I think it's probably in the phraseology, because he's got people in New York City and New York State and around the country in pockets believing his rhetoric and his campaign, what he wants to do. And as a libertarian, as long as you're not forcing me into that system, go ahead and do it. But it begs the question, why is it necessary to have our government worry so much about a communist or a socialist government, barring the fact that they're not trying to overthrow what we're doing here? So in other words, why do we care so much about what goes on in Cuba? Why do we care so much about Nicaragua that we want to change things? Why do we care about Haiti that we want to change their political environment and many other countries? And it doesn't have to be socialism slash communism. It could be we just don't like the way they run their country. And so I don't get it. I'm going to use the term socialism right now. But if ours is so good and theirs is so bad, why not just let the people of that country deal with their own folks, maybe vote them out, maybe junta them out, whatever. Why do we, the United States of America, why do we need to shore up what we do here? 508-996-0500. Thank you for your patience. Hello.
Sure up, man. Sure up. That sounds like a t-shirt.
Do I put it on the front or the back?
Front is cheesy. Back is better. But, you know, when someone sees sure up, they'd be like, sure up what, man? It's perfect because they have to ask you the question, sure up what? If you get to, you know, at least it's better than like the Nike slogan. What was that? Just do it.
Just do it.
That's sort of a statement. That's a statement.
Yeah.
Like, just do it.
Yeah, just do
it. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know why, or I guess I do know why. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why we meddle in other governments. Sometimes if it's the Dick Cheney factor, it's because you want to destroy them so you can rebuild them and pay back your crony buddies at Halliburton.
That certainly wouldn't be right, would it?
Oh, I didn't say it was right.
No, I know you didn't. But just think about it. If that were the case and Dick Cheney came out and blatantly stated it, we'd say, get him out of office. Okay. So that's why you have to have some type of disguise. You know, we're going after communism. We're going after jihadists. You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I don't think we would have been in the Middle East nearly as much as we were if it weren't for 9/11. So you could always say that was a touchstone issue. If Bush had just stood on the rubble in New York City and said, well, we'll do better next time, I don't think he would have been president for long. So, I think there were a lot that meddled and ruined what was hit the beehive, I guess is what some people would say.
You don't believe the Tucker Carlson stuff then, huh?
What's that?
I think Tucker is working on the fact that the United States knew a lot more about 9/11 prior to 9/11 happening.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I am so tired of conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists because most of the stories are something that doesn't have enough facts, so they make up the rest of it, or other people make up the rest of it. I had a friend of mine tell me the Earth's flat and was dead serious, and I'm like, until you figure it. I know you're kidding, but come on. I mean, there's other stuff that's just this sort of like juvenile, but they put it out there, and then there's the deep conspiracies about this one did this to this one, and you know, and maybe there are some that, you know, the facts will shed the light on it. We've been through the, you know, the Kennedy assassination. You know, do we decide it was the CIA? Because it sounds like that was the case. But
I don't know that. I think we decided that Oswald didn't act alone.
Right. Well, then who did he? So a conspiracy at that time, at that point, exists because it's more than one actor, right?
Correct.
So that is conspiracy. But the theory, you know, was all over the board, including aliens at one point. I'm pretty sure, but. Anyway,
getting to that point, once again, there's another reason for people to believe that the government is lying to us because they're the ones that have told us that Oswald acted alone.
Right. Well, the government has many times said that we are ready to have the information. That's different than a conspiracy theory. And that's wrong as far as I'm concerned. I think we can handle anything. I'm sure that worst case scenario for how we acted as a people was when they did the radio play of War of the Worlds and people jumped out windows and killed themselves. And I guess because people thought there really was an alien force that had landed and was killing people because they thought they didn't get the fact it was a radio play. They thought it was news. So,
well, that's true, but that wasn't the government doing that.
No, but I think how people react, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. But going back to this, again, I I'm not going to try to pretend like I know everything that happened with 9/11. I know what I've seen. I know what I've read. But you take 9/11 and then you add weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And we know that we were lied to about that. It took us a while to figure it out. But since we know that, that led to ISIS, that led to, not in this order, but ISIS and the tumbling down of Saddam Hussein. I mean, that's a regime change.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think some of the worst was, I won't get into it. Do you know when our first regime change was? Oh, this is a good one for you.
Our first regime change.
As a nation?
The Revolutionary War.
Nope.
When?
Nope. The first regime change that we did in the United States was we killed the king of Hawaii. You could look that one up.
How do you know that was the first?
Maybe there was something before, but that was documented that he wasn't playing ball with the industrialists that were working there at the time, he was deposed by a weapon. I don't have the story in front of me. I do remember reading it a while ago, but it sucks. But you know, now we got Mondami, right? It's going to be interesting. They also were not even paying attention to the fact they have a Mondami in Minnesota for mayor of Minnesota and one for the mayor of Seattle. They're all identical. So all saying the exact same thing. So Democratic Party might die on the end, you know, or what we knew as a Democratic Party might die with the election of Mondami. And that's not good that's not good. I wish that we could find a way back.
Go ahead and tell me why it's not good.
Well, because you're going to be dealing with pretty much just a radical party at that point. I don't know if you've seen some of the interviews. It's pretty kind of sad and funny at the same time, because a lot of people, when they interview these people about why they're going to vote for Mondami, they just basically feel that their vote is going to be traded for dollars. Like if they vote, they're going to have dollars in their pocket. If they vote, they're getting free services. But the fact is, it's never free. Somebody's paying for it or somebody is. And you can't just say, oh, millionaires would pay for it, because when they all leave or when they're all broke, you know, I think I looked one time how many billionaires we had in the U.S. and how many millionaires. And the first thing is, if you're that rich, you can move. You can move your money in 5 seconds and you can move yourself in a reasonably short time. And if the money's not there anymore, then now who are you going after? Well, then it's the people making $500,000 a year or $100,000 a year. Well, that's everybody else.
And then 50. Yeah. No, I have said that so many times.
I know you have, but we're going to go through an interesting time. We always have to learn and go through the pain and all that stuff. But
yeah, I don't. I hear that, but I'm not. I am that skeptical about the ground that we're on right now, and because people are living off of their credit cards, people are complaining going over to the grocery store. You hear the talk about. Utility bills, all that kind of
stuff. Utility bills are crazy.
I know.
It's crazy that the whole idea behind a utility is it's supposed to be supported and managed to some extent by the local government, whoever that government is, to keep rates reasonable, not to let it get out of control or not use it as a political pawn to get your, you know, agenda through, you know, a climate agenda issue stuff through. And it's bad. I mean,
but that's how things have changed. And
right. If
you are Mandani, you play on that. Now, you and I know that he's going to use government to try to short things up and make things sound good. And he's going to tax the hell out of people. But they're falling for it. And people have been falling for it time and again. When you were a kid. Your folks probably paid for whatever health care you guys had out of pocket or got it through their work. Now you've got government. Whoever thought of that? And the Republicans are even down with that program. The Republicans didn't want education in the federal government. Look what's going on. Everywhere you turn, the government has their fingers in your pie.
Well, Democrats wanted low cost to free health care, but the Republicans didn't want the health care to be supported by business. So when Obama proposed Obamacare, and I was in a business at the time, and everyone in the businesses were like, great, this is, we're just going to get rid of our health care plan and let people go on the open market. And I'm like, well, the programs aren't that good. I mean, your quality of health care per person is going to go down, not up. And this whole idea of like, if everyone participates, no, that doesn't work like that, because it's one system. There's no competition.
And when
competition is what makes it better.
And when you say if everybody participates, that's forcing people into something that maybe they don't want.
Right. All right.
All right, my man. Thank you much.
Yeah.
Have a great one.
You too.
508-996-0500. It's one of the fears I have. People liking it so much. I was not around at this time. I often state this story, but I'm going to piece it together as best I can. My cousin, who lives down in Florida, I have two cousins in Florida. One does a lot of work with family genealogy or history, whatever that kind of stuff is. He never, because he's the youngest, he never met my great aunt. So my grandmother's sister. My grandmother's sister and my grandmother, they started a school for black children to do well. You know, I come from a family of very well-educated folk. And this school was just a brilliant school, by all accounts. All kinds of awards that you're able to get back in those days. You had to pay. It was a private school. You had to pay to go there. Brown versus Board of Education knocked that school out of existence because people figured, well, now that you have integrated, we might as well, we're going to be accepted at the traditional schools. And in theory, that's correct. But you can see the myriad of problems that have happened, not just because of what has become affirmative action and DEI and those kind of programs, but overcrowding of schools, the culture within the schools. And as I like to say, if you want to teach wokeness, go ahead. Just don't involve me. I'm not interested. If you think that's the best way to get your kids A's and B's, all the power to you. But don't force the issue on everybody, which is what you see to the point that you have an administration right now that's trying to remove all kinds of wokeness. Well, the opposite is just as bad as the former. It's a matter of what's it going to be or what's it not going to be? Who's going to get the money? Who's not going to get the money? And that's why I'm a firm believer of you pay for your education. Maybe from what would be second grade to seventh grade, you can have a government-operated system, but you don't force people into that system. Let them do their education whatever way they want. And then after seventh grade, you really do fend for yourself if you want to keep on going to school. You're not going to be going to New Bedford High School, Dartmouth High School, and the respective middle schools and stuff like that. You'll go to wherever you want to go to school, and you'll pay whatever nominal fee to go to one of those schools. We have become so burdened with government and looking for government to do something. Case in point, what did we start off talking about? What's going on in New York and the SNAP benefits? People are looking for government to provide that answer. And I got to tell you, the people that are in government, They're lapping it up like it's puppy chow at the bowl.
And bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary.
WBSM.
You can trust your car to the man who wears the star. The big, bright Texas Coast Star.
Low-cost air helps you find the best airfares, foreign and domestic. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Informed, not obstruct. No one is doxing agents. No one is obstructing justice as far as like what we're purporting to do. This app just simply says, hey, this is where ICE has been seen. Avoid the situation.
Got a story here. Tim put it up at WBSM.com. You can read it. The State Pier, or at least a couple of the wharves at State Pier, are going to be shut down for 2, 3, maybe 4 years. The South Wharf and the East Wharf are expected to be closed in the very near future because it didn't pass inspection. And a lot of work needs to be done to the point that if you have a business that does water business on the South or the East Wharf, you're going to be moved. For how long? Anywhere from 2 to 3 years if permitting works rapidly, longer if it doesn't. And you might recall that I think it's the South Pier, West Pier. That's been down for a little bit and the funding and permitting hasn't really come for that one yet. So the mayor is hoping. Mayor Mitchell says the city is working closely with the relevant state agencies to ensure that businesses affected by the structural repairs can find suitable space elsewhere in the Port of New Bedford. He's grateful that the state didn't waste a lot of time to address the problem.